reading for the first seven verses. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your minds, for ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons and daughters. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? Amen. Singapore is in the midst of a great economic upsurge. You may call it a kind of a revival. The rate of building, construction and development is frightening. It's feverish. Before you know a thing, buildings are torn down and new buildings rise up. I don't travel very much in Singapore. I confine myself to this area. I live just around the corner in Anderson Road. So I go down to the city waterfront about once a year or two. So whenever I go down, I'm amazed. More and more new buildings. What's happening? Yesterday, I opened this Time magazine. And it is dated 4th of June. 4th of June is still a few days to go. And it says here, Singapore soars, meaning to say it's flying high. Casinos, amusement parks, al fresco dining. I'm not sure what that means, but it means people are eating a lot. The stuffy old port is restyling itself to be a destination city, playground for the wealthy of the world. Wow, isn't that good? You think so? And as I looked at the picture, I show you the panoramic picture, I saw a lot of buildings which I had never seen. I said, wonderful, I must make a trip, go down and see these three amazing towers. Wow, I must have missed a lot of new buildings in the seafront, you know. Until I looked down below, it says here, it is a picture of Tomorrowland, not now. Pictures of buildings which are not there. How come? Singapore's Marina Bay, as it will look in several years' time, is now shown to you by computer-enhanced technology. Amazing. You can create photos of things that are not there, and they look like photographs. So I learned something. Dear friends, we live in a very amazing world of change. To tell us one thing, you know what? The Word of God is our only sure guide. It does not change. It does not undergo computer enhancement to put things there that are not there. But the Word of God says this. Listen carefully. Of the times and seasons, you need not that I tell you, because you know it already in the God's Word. It says, the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, when men shall say, peace and safety and prosperity and booming, then that is the time to tell you, wake up, be careful, the Lord's coming is very near. If any man will come after me, says the Lord Jesus Christ today to all of us, and we are here for that one purpose, we are following the Lord Jesus, he says, deny yourself daily, take up your cross and follow me. Leave behind these wonderful, wonderful things, for they will perish one day. You know, the Lord Jesus, when he was tempted, he was taken up the high pinnacle of the temple and up to a high mountain and shown all the glories of the world and say, bow down. And this is what is being suggested to all of us today, every day. Follow the stock market. Follow the business times and bow down. You get more money, more wealth, more prestige. You're with it. That is the time, it says here, beware, the Lord is coming. If any man will come after me, I have brought here with me a chorus, which I think it is good we all sing. It is on the back of the sheet which says, follow, follow. All right, the single sheet that was an insert to remind us that we all are a heavenly people. And the only reliable leader we must follow, and not just follow today, but follow every day, is the Lord Jesus. And he says here, follow, follow. I will follow Jesus. Is that your will, your wish, your resolve? Remember, we have only one home, not where you live today, but our home is up there. When I was in Anglo-Chinese school many years ago, doing my senior Cambridge, we had to learn from Shakespeare. And one little line from Shakespeare, I never forget. He says, all the world a stage, and all the men and women merely players, actors. They have the exits and the entrances. And this is a summary of life in a nutshell in the mind of Shakespeare. Now, in the mind of the writer of Hebrews, he says, true, all the world's a stage, but it is a different stage from the play acting. It is a real stadium, maybe we should call it. All the world's a stadium. And all the men and women are runners. Now that gives you the context to this morning's message. I've entitled it, Racing to Heaven. Do you know this? Do you know that you are part of the runners in this great stadium of the world? I brought with me a representation of the world. Nothing to do with tennis. But because the world is round, and if you go around the world like this, one round is 25,000 miles, right? But all of us will fit into this world many, many million times more. You know, there are 6,500,000 people. Now, we here will fit in here. And we will not be here for very long, mind you, please. You know, the world does rotate, like this, rotate. And if that is the sun, you go round. How many times have you made the round trip around the sun? You. 50 times, you're 50 years old. I've done it 81 times. Go round. Please understand, we are just temporary in this little globe of ours. Mind you, the whole solar system in the universe is just a speck. Amazing. Amazing. And what are we doing here? The writer of Hebrews 12 says, we are in a race, running from here to a home that will never perish. You can do your best in Singapore, have a house in Sentosa Cove, or in the best places. Nowadays, it's gone up to $4,000 a square foot, the highest priced apartment in Singapore. And there are people with that money. You dare to live there? All right. Where is your ambition? Where are your hopes founded in this little planet that's going round and round. And one day before you realize it, before you wish for yourself, that last day will come. Whether you wish it or not, it will come. Then, where do you go? Now, that makes the reading relevant. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore, meaning to say, because of what has gone on before chapter 12, seeing that we also are compassed or surrounded with a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. True? Absolutely. If you can tell me that in this past week you have lived a totally sinless life, I say, wonderful. Were you in heaven? My friends, on earth, the contamination around us causes us to sin. So much so that we are not able to run the race properly, because every sin is like a weight, and no runner runs a race with weights on him. So here the writer is very imaginative, able to apply. So he says here, let us lay aside every weight and the sins which so easily beset you. You did not intend to sin, but in the slip of a tongue, in the flash of a moment of temper, you lost your cool, and then you have sinned in word, in thought, maybe in action. Then you have sinned. Then you are carrying additional weight, and you are running. What are you doing? No runner ever carries weight to run. I've not seen it. Yeah. So the apostle who wrote this says, look, wake up. We all are running the race. A race that will lead us to the heavenly home, the everlasting home, the one home that you can say, that's it. No more moving house. Once I'm there, I'm there. And I will be satisfied, never to wish for anything better. And once I'm there, forever there, with the creator of that home. Wonderful. Read on, please. It says, let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Now, who are the witnesses mentioned here in this first verse? The cloud of witnesses. You know, today we are Christians, and we have many, many encouragements and helps for our Christian life, this running of the race. None of us here are original pioneers in Christianity. None of us. True? But we are going back to the old days. Pioneers. The first ever believers. And these people are referred to as cloud of witnesses. Who are the witnesses? We are running a race, but there are many, many spectators who have done it before, successfully, who now look on at us as it were the great stadium, and they are the spectators. In football, there's a name to describe them called fans. What are the fans doing there? Do you know what they do there? They are there to cheer, encourage the team that is playing. Say, play on. Now the crowd of witnesses are there just for that purpose. To tell us, we have run the race successfully. You too can do it. Because the one who started us in that race, saw us through that race to the final, received us to receive the crown, the prize, the grand prize. We all have received it. You too. Don't give up. This is the meaning of the cloud of witnesses. Who are they? Very easily, you know the creation, the very first man ever to be murdered. Who was he? He was a Christian. He was a believer. And his name is called Abel or Abel, right? Who is he, Abel? He believed God and he gave the acceptable sacrifice. He did exactly as God said to do. You cannot save yourself. You must bring the offering of the blood of the Lamb. He did it, and his brother got angry and killed him because the brother refused that gospel. Right? Abel ran the race. Did he win the race? Absolutely. A short race, but a glorious, wonderful race. Some of us may be called to a short race. You never know. I'm going to tell you the story of the short race shortly. This will be the conclusion of... How many of you read this in the Straits Times about 10 days ago? Right. This is a story. He ran a short race. It doesn't matter whether it's a long race, a marathon, or a short race like these people, Abel. Then another one, the next one is Enoch. He ran a race. How did he run the race? It says, Enoch walked with God in a wicked and evil day. This is the proof. Today you do not expect Singapore to get better. You don't. Very soon it will become the Sodom of the East. It will become the alternate lifestyle capital of Asia very soon. This is prophetic. Living in this city, unless you have got your eyes set and your target very clearly defined, and every day running the race, regardless of what the rest of the people do, you say, I will follow Jesus. Enoch did that. What does the Bible say? Enoch, one man, walked with God, and God was pleased, and he was not. Meaning to say, he was taken. One day, he just disappeared. And the people took note. Ah, there is a world, a home beyond here. And Enoch attained. How long was his race? He lived 365 years. He could have lived if he had gone on maybe 900 years. Possible in those days, things are different from today. But God says, Enoch, listen, you have walked with me. That's enough. Your testimony can be seen by the people. Now come home. And Enoch was taken. One of the two in the Old Testament who did not die. Now that is the kind of race he ran. What kind of race should you run? Enoch says, run the race I ran. Walk with God. How can we do it in wonderful Singapore? Oh, everybody wants to be part of the action. Do not. The third man, Noah. Noah believed God who said, Noah, build an ark. And he says, yes, Lord. Where? On land. What for? You are going to be saved by it. And all those who will come into that ark will be saved. He did it. And by that, he saved his family of eight. You know the Chinese word called chuan? Eight mouths in a craft. Eight people. That Chinese word, one day I'll give you a sermon on that, but not today. God taught the early Chinese pioneers who wrote the Chinese language, memorialize that one great event, that there was one boat, a craft, which carried eight people, and forever the Chinese called the word boat, craft with eight people inside, all right? Noah walked with God. Noah obeyed God. So this is how we run the race. Simply obeying what God says, not inventing our ways. Thinking we are smart and said this is the way to live. All right. So here is the great cloud of witnesses. But the greatest and the one that we always refer back to is Abraham. The first Christian, as it were. So I want you to turn your Bible now to Hebrews 11 and follow how Abraham ran his race. Verse 10, Hebrews 11, verse 10. To give you the background, Abraham lived in the land called Ur of the Chaldees, today called Iraq, very well known because it features in the press oftentimes, where America does not know how to get out, he knew how to get in. So that's a place where a lot of things are happening. That's where Abraham came from. And God called Abraham, follow me, I'll show you a land for you. When you arrive there, God says, no, Abraham, it's not here. Look up there. The land I call you to is up there. Verse 10. Abraham looked for a city which had foundations, whose builder and maker is God, not on earth. No home on earth is for permanent. Do you think so? Oh, yes. No home on earth is for permanent. Very soon it grows old, run down, break down, and it's gone. So Abraham was shown by God, Abraham not on earth. And once Abraham realized that his home was in heaven, he lived only in tents. So that Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the children, the 12 tribes, learned all to be tent dwellers. The idea of a tent dweller is that I am here only as a traveler. So, take that home today. We are runners, we are travelers. Earth is not our home. No matter how good your apartment is, no matter how much you pour into it, there is a day you have to leave it, whether you like it or not, you've got to leave it. So, right now, begin to look for the home that is up there, like Abraham did. Abraham looked for a city which had foundations, meaning to say that will not pass away. Please begin to build your home, run that race, visualize a wonderful home. God is preparing for all those who believe, that's all. You don't have to pay a price. You don't have to put down payment 10%. And you don't have to sign all kinds of contracts. The Lord says, I prepare for you a home. You run. Run with me. Follow me. Every day. Deny yourself. Take your cross. Follow. And it is yours up there, simply by faith. Verse 13. In case you have any doubts, read this one. All these died in faith. Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, all died in faith. Not having received the promises, they did not get into the mansions in heaven. No. Then what happened? But they saw them afar off. I said just now, you pray. As you hear, listen, also pray. Pray what? Lord, give me a spiritual eyesight, that by faith I can see that land far away. I can see that city of God far away. I can see the kingdom of God far away. And that land that is prepared for me, who will now run that race. And help me to run faithfully, consistently, every day to run that race. Meaning to say, walk with the Lord. Like Enoch walked with God. Like Noah walked with God. You walk with God. Run the race. Be consistent. Be faithful. And the reward is there waiting for you. But now, can you see it with your physical eye? Not able. With your spiritual eye, immediately it unfolds before you. A wonderful home God is preparing for all those who run the race. Run on, therefore. And verse 16. Now they desire a better country. Better than Singapore, with apologies to the government. Yes, better than Singapore. Singapore is about one of the best. Many American families migrate here and say, we love it in Singapore. In Washington, you dare not go out at night and walk, you know. You get mugged. Singapore, you can walk anytime. How good? Better than Singapore? Hard to find. Yes, up there. They desire a better country, an heavenly country, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. Are you ashamed to be a Christian? God, the Almighty Creator, is not ashamed to be associated with you, to be related with you, to have you call Him Heavenly Father. Are you ashamed to call Him? Oh, dear friends, don't let your Christianity be hidden under a bushel. Let people think you're in the secret service. You'll never tell anybody you are a Christian because you are a secret Christian. That's not the way to be a Christian. Go out and tell people you are a Christian for a good reason. Because my Savior calls me to be a Christian, to be a runner, and I am here to be a witness. Do that. So this is the meaning of the great cloud of witnesses. But the greatest witness, the greatest encourager for our running is not these people. The greatest is the Lord Jesus. He is the great witness. Where does it say so? Verse 2. Look to Jesus. Of course, we are happy to look at Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all ran the race successfully. And Noah, and Moses, and Abel, and Enoch, all good. But the best, verse 2, look to Jesus. He is the author and finisher of your faith. He's the one who called you, who gave you the faith to believe, and enabled to make a start in the race, to run the race. Who called you? Answer Jesus. And who will see you through? Answer Jesus. And who is at the end, at the finishing post, to welcome you when you come home? Jesus. Wonderful. Do you know Him? You love Him? Serve Him? Verse 2. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. And by faith only we run. And without faith we cannot please God. Pray for faith, therefore. Add to your prayer list, your shopping list. Huh? Can you add on today? Every day say, Lord, please increase my faith. I was taught this when I was 6 years old, when my father sent me to live with grandfather. I was so small, he was so old. And he said to me, grandson. I said, yes, grandfather. Pray. I said, yes, I pray. Pray for what? Pray for faith. I said, what is faith? He said, you don't know now, you pray. Pray, you will know. Ah, believe. So I say the same to you. Pray for faith. That you will always look to the author and finisher of that faith. Who? The Lord Jesus. The one who we celebrate, remember at the table. The one we pray to, the one we look to, the one we put all our faith in, the Lord Jesus. What did He do? He ran His race. Oh, an amazing race. His race you cannot run, but He ran. He only could run. Verse 2. Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before Him, endured the cross, despised the shame, is now set on the right hand of the glory of God. Amazing. Jesus ran the race because there was joy set before Him. He saw beyond the agony of the cross. He saw that He will be put to death on the cross, the most cruel form of death and the most cruel form of taking away the life in that way, because on Him was put all our sins, your sins and mine. Who says so? The Word of God says so. Yes. When Jesus went to the cross, all our sins were taken by Him. And He made propitiation. He made the payment for that sin. It's like a great debt you owe. He paid it for you. And He saw that if He goes to the cross, all those who believe in Him, including all of us here today at RELC, all our sins will be taken away. And we will be reconciled to God. And we will have peace with God because Jesus died on the cross for you and for me. He saw this. Who saw? Jesus. The joy was set before Him. So that He went willingly to the cross. No man can put Him to the cross. He went willingly. Why? Because of the joy. He saw down the ages one day, this group of people, plus so many other groups, by the thousands and millions around the world who believe the gospel of the cross of Jesus, put their faith in Jesus dying for them, Jesus saw that joy. He died. He ran the race. His race ended on the cross of Calvary and rose up third day victorious. That was his race. You cannot run that race, but we can all come to him and say, Lord, help. Help me to follow you, to run after you, to imitate you, and to suffer if need be, because Jesus suffered the contradiction of sinners, to be mocked and spat upon and beaten and scourged. All this he took, plus the cross. Did he take it willingly? Yes. Thank God he did. So we learn from him. Run your race. The race may be long, may be a marathon. How long is a marathon? 26 miles. You ever run it? Maybe a sprint, 100 meters. For Kevin Tai, it was a sprint, very short. I first knew him in 1992. We went to start a church in Melbourne. They emigrated to Melbourne. And they came to a church brought by a friend. And there I saw the family, the young people. He was then about 12 or 13. Listening to the gospel. And praise God, their family believed. So in 1992, I baptized them. The next thing I came across that was of significance is 2005. This young man, called Kevin Tai, at the height of his youthfulness, graduated, good job, and a steady girlfriend, one of the other members of that church that we founded in Melbourne, another lovely young lady. They had been going steady, Christian friends, serving the Lord together in the same church for 15 years. Now, at last, Kevin is able to earn his living, engaged to be married. 5 months before the happy day, he felt unwell. The doctors took a look, did some tests and said, sorry, you have one of the rarest and most deadly cancers ever imaginable. You have it. Now what do you do? Under those circumstances, your faith is put to the test. And this is the meaning of this book that has been written called Second Dawn, Kevin's Legacy. I've brought some copies. If it runs out, put your names down. It's a book that when I took up, I couldn't leave it down. I finished the whole book. It is a real life story. Now listen to how he accepted this diagnosis. When his cancer came to light, it served as a catalyst, rekindled his spiritual life. It had gone cold and it had become a routine, almost a meaningless routine. Go to a church, go to a church. Say a prayer. Read Bible, without much of savor. His faith and trust in God grew. He never asked the question, why me? Why such a thing should happen to me? Why is God so unfair? Which is the common questions, not from Kevin. There was never a word that was remotely close to complaining against God. The parents confessed, our faith had become so cold. We didn't even pray. But now with this thing, we turn back to God and every day we prayed. The doctor was touched. The doctor who diagnosed for him and told him, Kevin, you have this thing. He said, I was so touched that he did not ever complain. Whatever I told him, no matter how bad the news was, he says, it's God's will. God has a purpose to change my life, whatever is remaining of it. And this is where the purpose of God is seen in a person's life. Should I live another 30, 40 years? Or should I live one more year? God knows best. You know, sometimes we think, oh, if only I can live here for a long time, it's good. Is it good? Do you know? Do you know what is in store in heaven? If you knew what God has in store for you, that is calling you home, I think many of us will say, Lord, take me now. Yes. Because what you do not see, and what God has prepared for those who love Him, is amazing beyond description, and there are no words to describe it on earth until you get there. So, Kevin never complained. Every bad news was greeted with calmness. And he says, God's way are higher than man's ways, beyond understanding. Amidst the pain and the intractability of his suffering, is something that nothing can stop the pain of. His selfless nature was seen. His thought was not about myself, but my friends. Are they saved? All the time he made a list, all his friends, and he prays for them that they will return to serve the Lord, that they will not go into the world and backslide. Each night he will look and study the list until he fell asleep. Then he wakes up and goes back to the list. List of what? My friends, to make sure I am going to heaven before you, he told them. And I expect to see you, but you do not backslide. That's his greatest urge, is to tell them, I want to see you there, especially you. As I was readying to leave the hospital after saying goodbye, this friend says, Kevin held my hand and tightened the grip, and he said to me, the next time I see you up there, but be sure you are there. So this is the effect of the sentence of cancer on a young man of 28, engaged to be married in 5 months' time. And by the 13th month, God took him home. I flew down to conduct the funeral because this young man was very close to us. In his last days, his two companions by his side are Bible and RPG. Read, Pray, Grow book. These two kept him till the very end. Then he prepared for the funeral. All the hymns, Bible passages, who's to do what, who's to be the pallbearers to bear his coffin, all were done to final detail. Dear friends, this is the story of how Kevin Tai ran his race. How are you running your race, dear friends? Let this story of a young man touch your heart, that you will realize that we have only one life to live. The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to know just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. Now is the only time we have to do the Master's will. Do not delay another day, because your clock may then be still. So this is the thrust of today's message. While you have life, run. Run the race for the Lord, that at the end, He say, well done. Well done. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, help us to understand the meaning of life, and that we all are in a great race. Enable us to run consistently, faithfully, and with our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Bless all your people here who hear this message, that each one of us will resolve, Lord, take my life and make it a great blessing to others around me. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.